I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss. There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, Louisa, tell me, what's your morning routine?
Oh God, it's your different every routine. Morning. Routine.
Are you a good morning person?
No, I'm awful. Oh, but no. I try and make myself get up in the morning. So if I don't have work until the afternoon, I have to make sure I go to the gym or have something to do in the morning, so I have to get up, because otherwise I just won't.
Dude, I'm the same, man. Listen, I wake up every single morning, I look in the mirror and I look at myself and go, hey, you're going to eat that victory again today. I do that and
that's great.
And then I go, yum, yum, it tastes like vanilla. Say that every morning to myself in the mirror.
Yeah. Great.
Sometimes I say, hey, Triumph tastes like what, Jamie? And I say, like a Mars bar.
You might just be eating a Mars bar, though.
Well, I don't eat Mars bars because I go to the gym, so I wouldn't eat a Mars bar.
Really?
Yeah, I don't really eat this.
So what do you not feel sort of creative in the morning when you're lying in bed? No?
No way. I will not get up unless I've got an alarm.
Oh, really?
Like, I can't do it. Yeah, I'm just not a morning person.
What's your alarm?
It sounds like sparkles.
Oh.
No, yeah, it doesn't.
It's not like that.
It's the worst.
My dog wakes up at that one and he then jumps on me. And so I found a happy medium where
I've got a very relaxing alarm clock.
Wait, hang on. So the sparkle one. So what does it go?
It sounds like chimes and.
Oh, like
things.
A wind chime.
Yeah.
That would really scare the shit out of me.
Really?
In every horror movie or like a movie about hurricanes, which are very connected, the two, both are terrifying.
They should make one which is just like a really rusty fence blowing in the wind.
I wake up to babies crying. That's what.
Do you?
Yeah.
Really?
Gets me really excited.
Then we should stop stealing babies because
I'm like, shut up.
Oh my God, that'd make me angry. That's not what I want to hear in the morning.
What, your babies crying makes you angry?
Yeah.
You're the devil. What are you talking about?
Babies crying is extremely
it's
annoying.
It's not the most relaxing sound.
Jamie, I guess Jamie's pretending like he's really like, he wants you to say you're going to be a really great dad.
Yeah, it's not happening, mate.
That's what it is. That's all he's getting, because he thinks that's going to get him laid. That's why you always go really OTT with babies. You're like, oh, you're like speaking to them like they're as cute as like a duckling or something.
Yeah, they are. Babies are very cute. And also,
they're not as cute as a duckling.
Trust me, when I walk down the street.
Or a baby lamb.
No, baby lamb.
Baby lambs are much cuter than babies.
Baby lambs are cute.
Okay, what's cuter, a baby polar bear or a baby lamb?
Baby lamb, I think.
What are you? Baby polar bear.
100%.
I mean, polar bears are very cute, but have you seen a baby lamb? I see them every day.
Do you?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I live next to a field of sheep.
He lives in a tent in a field.
That's lovely.
But I used to have a pet lamb called Lambert, and I used to feed it in a bottle. I raised it from a baby, fed it with a bottle, and used to take it on walks on a lead.
Yeah, but then
that's cute.
No.
Then
I'm giving him the reaction that you wanted.
Yeah, what is that?
Yeah, you wanted that with babies.
Baby lambs work. Sorry.
Listen, I protect babies. What are you talking about, baby lambs feeding?
No, babies are very, very cute. I just don't like the idea of waking up to baby screaming.
No, they're not cute when they cry.
Listen, I like all types of babies. I like them when they cry, when they laugh, when they puke, when they poop, when
See,
they pee.
Trying to get you. Well, go on, say it.
You're so lovely.
Just give him what he wants.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Private Parts Podcast. This is where we read the most intimate sort of details of our lives. Joined in the studio today, Louisa Johnson. Hello.
Hello.
Joined
Hello.
In the studio. You got it wrong again.
Joining
us in the studio.
Joining us in the studio. I think joined in this the studio is kind of
are we
right.
joined
yeah we I can mean, we yeah. can join I feel like we are all three of us very joined, you know, on the same kind of like
table
men no mentality level. I feel like we have a sort of connection, all three of us.
It's yeah. over there, like that splitter.
Yeah, I do. Hey, listen, also you came all the way from Essex.
I did, yeah.
Essex is like Texas. It's so big. It is.
That's the weirdest thing I've ever heard.
It is, honestly. I
think, do you think it is quite big, actually? I didn't know there was many places in Essex.
I wouldn't necessarily describe... Have you been to Texas? It's
no, but
very
I...
Very different to Essex.
I can imagine, I guess.
No, because Essex... the reason why I think Texas and Essex are the same is because they're both like the
Wild...
Because
they've got X in them.
Yeah, they both have an X in them. They both are like the Wild West.
Right.
Yeah. In Essex, I feel like it's a bit like the Wild West. I feel like when you walk... In Essex, if you walk into a bar and you see...
I mean, it's pretty wild.
It's also not in the West.
Never eat shredded wheat. No, it's not. Where is it?
It's, well, it's sort of east, southeast.
Like
yeah.
southeast.
But it is one of those places where, you know, everyone is a bit kind of like, you know, it's a bit
wild.
Kind of, this is my territory. If you step on it.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
Because and everyone.
I've had a few friends from London come to me and be like, I feel awkward. Anywhere I go, I just feel like I'm not meant to be here.
You don't have any sheep in Essex, do you?
No. Oh, well, no, we do, but I've not really seen many.
No.
So wait,
it's
so-
quite countryside, isn't it, yeah. Essex? Which
yeah,
I don't,
it does.
I don't really feel like it is, but it's the other people that live in London. It is. I guess.
So do you prefer city life or do you prefer country life?
I prefer city nightlife, but I prefer
not
like
country nightlife.
Living no, I prefer living in the country.
So you're a country girl. You grew up in Essex. Mm. What was it like growing up in your household? Because you have a like younger brother, right?
Yeah, I've got a younger brother. My family's like separated, so I have stepsisters,
hey,
stepbrothers.
Snap, man.
Oh god, yeah. We've got a big family.
How
but
big?
We're all super close. So I have I have a brother, a stepbrother, a sister, a stepsister, and that's it. Yeah.
So the big immediate sort of
yeah.
family.
Well, I beat you on that one because I have.
Have you got more?
Yeah, I got more. I got a half brother.
Mm-hmm.
A half sister, another half sister, a real brother, a real sister, a stepbrother, wow. and a stepbrother.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
so and you have a lot.
I have a lot, but it's weird though. Like coming from
yeah, but how many cousins do you have?
Oh god, I don't even know.
I don't know how many cousins.
I don't know. If
I've got 47 first cousins.
No, you haven't.
Yeah, I do.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
You've got 47
on both sides. Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
As in 47 what? And 47?
No, so 47 collectively on my mother right. and my dad's side.
Okay, but I feel like that's a lot of cousins to have. Mm. That's quite a... Your
and that's not, even, that's not even including the children of my cousins.
Do you have to buy them all presents?
Not really. No.
Great.
No, none yeah. of us buy each other
then
presents anymore.
Hey, but Louisa, tell me, so your parents divorced and you grew up yeah. in Essex. Did you live at your mum's or your dad's house?
I lived at my mum's.
Yeah, but why does that always happen?
I don't know, it's
I
weird.
Did the same.
Because, like, when I was younger, I always used to want to live with my dad. But then when I went to my dad, I wanted to be with my mum. And it was like,
yeah,
ah, head fuck.
Head fuck.
Yeah.
Did you have the same as me where you used to...
Did your dad spoil you more than your mum?
No, but my dad was, like, a bit more lenient.
Yeah.
So I did enjoy going there. And I had a... Like, my stepsister is, like, 8 days older than me. So we would get along really well.
So your dad would let you go and party at, like, 11 and go to nightclubs?
I mean, he wouldn't let me do that.
11?
Yeah.
But way too late.
Yeah, is that...
When did you start partying? Eight?
No, I meant to be out.
Oh! You meant eight.
So did I. So did I. But it's weird. I remember when my parents got divorced when I was 8 years old. And
mine too.
And you too?
When I was eight.
Yeah, when
same time. I wonder if they got together and they said, "Hey, let's just collectively divorce so that Jamie and Francis will one day start a podcast and talk about it,
talk about it on it."
Well, it worked.
Yeah, it's worked right now. How old were you when you were?
I was three.
Oh, so you were baby.
Yeah, I had no idea. Like, I just remember them being together very briefly, but I don't really know what it's like to have like.
But I think weirdly, and then yeah, same as me. So, but when my parents divorced, we would obviously do the same as you, where we'd have to split up time. So you would have to go for like 2 weeks in the summer to like my dad's house and 2 weeks in the summer to my mum's house. And I remember every single time I had to go, I would start crying. It's a long time. And you would settle in one place and then you'd have to move to another place. Yeah. And it was like super hectic.
I used to do alternative weekends. So on a normal weekend, it'd be my mum's, and then the next one would be my dad's, and the next one would be my mum's, and Christmases as well. We used to
Swap around.
Yeah.
And then sometimes you wouldn't want to go. And it was like, yeah, and you would have to do it. And you'd be like, I don't want to. I want to stay at my mum's. But then my dad used to give me bigger stockings. So I used to, not like the things you put on, the actual, you know, like Father Christmas stockings.
Fishnet.
Yeah. He used to give me, put those fishnets on.
Oh, God.
So we used to have that. So I quite like going to my dad's. But then what were you like? So you grew up in Essex.
Yeah.
You're a big West Ham fan.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of the football results? Have you been watching it?
Not as much this season, to be honest.
Yeah.
I'm like on and off. I'm not like die hard, but when I'm there, I am, if that makes sense.
I get that question all the time. People always say to me, what football team do you support? I always go Chelsea. And then they go, all right.
So how are they doing?
And, and you go,
okay.
Yeah, sweet. And I just go,
like, I follow it. I definitely follow it, but I'm not like...
Do you shout out stuff at the...
Yeah.
Like what? Like
my dad is like the biggest West Ham fan, and he'd probably kill me for saying that. But like, he is just obsessed. Same with my brother.
France and I went up to Edinburgh to do this podcast, and we took it on tour, right? Mm. And we went and had an interview afterwards, and we were doing the same thing. Francis walks in, he knocked over like a glass. And I went, Francis, you never do anything that's not like awkward and clumsy. And he turned to me and said, I've never heard you say anything but racist comments.
No. You always tell it wrong.
What did you say?
No, you said, I've never been with you when you haven't done something clumsy. And I said, I've never been with you when you haven't said something racist.
Front of this journalist. And I was like, he's kidding. And Francis went, no, I'm not. And I went, no, he really is.
But
kidding.
You say it with such a serious face. You can just tell already. You're that kind of person who just plays it cool and just doesn't.
Yeah, he doesn't
give
care. He doesn't give it away.
Because it's almost funnier watching Jamie deny it.
It's just ridiculous. Okay, so you were growing up in Essex.
Yeah.
And what were you like as a kid? Were you kind of a girly girl? Were you a tomboy?
I wasn't really a girly girl. I've never been too much of a girly girl. I was quite a quiet child, I think. Around like my circle of people, I was like very outgoing and crazy and weird, but like around, if someone had just met me, they'd be like, oh, she's very shy and timid, which I was quite shy and timid. I still am, if you don't know me that well.
But I don't think you are, though. I don't think you're
tough. I've got better. I've got grown in confidence a lot more, but when I was at school and stuff, I just wasn't really like that, unless I was with like my friends.
But what do you think is the biggest thing that's caused you to grow in confidence, would you say?
My job. Yeah. I've had to
Because you've had to
I've
do
just
it, right?
I've just had to... just be all out there.
So it's pushed you out of your comfort zone.
Yeah, and even when I do it sometimes, like even today, I was like, oh, I'm nervous, I don't really like talking. I get really scared about public talking, and if I was to talk in front of a massive crowd, I would shit myself.
But
people are like, but you sing, but singing, yeah. I've been doing it since I was three, so it doesn't mean, like to me, it's just...
Normal. No, I can't, I will get into all of that stuff, but there's just no way. I went and watched you when you won X Factor.
Yeah.
Weirdly, I actually, as you walked past, I shouted
you
at you, and you did it. And I think
well,
you just,
strange.
I was like, Louisa, 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 and you just didn't even acknowledge me.
I'm sorry.
Which I hate you for, because that's why, thank God, now we can have it out. Yeah. Why didn't you respond? But there were, I remember looking around and it was in...
God, that was obviously really, really... hurt your feelings.
It didn't hurt my feelings at all.
No?
I'm sorry.
Well, you did bring it up.
So. No, well, I'm just saying it was a very... Look, if I'm totally honest, there were a lot of people there. Okay, there was a lot of people there.
Probably didn't hear him.
I was being muffled by everyone else's screams.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I climbed on top of this small child to get to you and then...
And you loved small children.
Yeah, yeah, but I'll use them.
Oh,
I'll
really
use them
that.
As a table if I have to get what I want. But when I was there, Ken, it was in this. It wasn't the O2. It was
Wembley Arena.
There we go. The other one.
How many people can go in Wembley Arena?
80,000.
80,000.
No, that's stadium.
Oh, so you
went. I think it's 10 or 11.
No.
11 people.
1,000.
Come on, just pick it up again. Like, it's 180,000 people were there watching you. I counted them. They were watching you. They were watching you perform.
Okay.
You're funny. But, you know, that is true. And not only beside the fact that how many million, you know, 12, 13 million people were watching at home.
Yeah.
And you're the 17-year-old girl who's a little bit timid from school. And yes, you've been doing it your entire life, but getting on stage there, I mean, I'm going to swear, holy shit, that's the most intense atmosphere.
Yeah.
If you are quite...
it must have been quite an adrenaline rush.
Yeah, the whole experience for me, I was speaking to someone the other day actually about it, and it was just the most weird, amazing, crazy, fucked up experience that I've ever been in my life, because I literally came from school. So to go from school to learning like English, maths and science, to doing that is just weird.
That's the only way
I can describe it. It's just weird.
Yeah. Because it's just...
It's completely
hey, Jinx, padlock, 1, 2, 3. Doorknob. What's the other one? You say shotgun.
What?
What are you talking about? But it's true.
We didn't say the same thing.
Yeah, we said something together. I sensed it.
We said it's completely...
Anyway, we digress.
For a 17-year-old girl to leave school. But did you leave school or did you finish your A-levels? Or?
No, I didn't. I went to college for like a month and then I didn't really like it because I hated school.
It's probably not fun after you've been on X Factor.
I didn't go back after X Factor. I meant before. I left school. I went to college for a month and then went on X Factor.
Oh, right. So you didn't leave school. I think you weren't
at
school.
Oh, no, I didn't
school.
Go back.
You weren't at school when you were doing X Factor.
No.
But also...
You'd already left.
Yeah.
But also, you know, I suppose the annoying thing is when you have these chats, right, that everyone... You know, whenever ever has a chat about me, they're like, look, we want to talk about Great British Bake Off. Mm. That's what they always... They go like, I know you from that show. But with you, it's always like X Factor, right?
Yeah.
That's the big thing that they always ask you about. So you kind of get bored of talking. But it is an interesting thing to get into because... You were this young girl who could say, when you started singing as well, when did you know that you had, because your voice, but this is not me sucking up to you in any way, but it's going to sound like this, your voice is unbelievable.
Thank you.
No, but it really is.
Thank you.
I said in a, what are you looking at?
He's like, oh, he's doing it again. Yeah, he's doing the baby thing again.
Listen, this is not doing the baby thing again. Really not. It's being sweet and
he's just being genuine. Nice.
And just being nice. But it's true, your voice is incredible.
Thank you.
When you were younger, when did you realise that you... Were you singing in the car like, and the wheels on the bus go around and your parents turn around?
No,
I think I was like... I've always loved singing and performing, but I think I was about 6... And I was at Haven, you know, the caravan place.
Oh, I thought you meant Heaven, the gay club.
Not at six. No, I was at Haven, that holiday home. And I always used to go every year with my dad. And I loved Whitney Houston. I just remember loving her so much. And there was like this competition on and my dad knew I could sing. I don't even remember when I knew I could sing. I don't know. But I just remember this is my first memory. So he was like, you need to do it. You need to sing at this competition. And I was like, oh, I don't want to do it. Like, I don't know the song very well. I wanted to do a Whitney song. So anyway, I sat in the car for like 6 hours on, what was it? Whitney Houston, I Will Always Love You on repeat. So I learned it and learned it and learned it. And I was 6.
You're 6 years old and you're singing one of the hardest songs ever sung.
Yeah, but I forgot the words. Halfway through with the performance, I forgot like a whole verse. And I just stood on stage like crying my eyes out. No. And my dad came over to me like, held my hand.
Yeah, hit you. Come on. This song.
He was like, I wanted you to fucking win this.
You're not going home until we fucking win this. Get back out there.
So anyway, he came over, held my hand. And then like I just got some confidence back and I just started remembering the words and then
And you finished the song.
I won.
You won.
I won it.
Do you think
I won
the
a
crying,
little badge.
Do you think the crying helped a bit?
Yeah, obviously. Yeah. That's why I did it.
That is the sweetest scenario I've ever heard. That you were on stage, this sweet, adorable little girl singing this unbelievable song. You forget the words, you start crying, and then your dad walks on stage, holds your hand. What, does he whisper anything to you or just hold
no,
your...
No, he's just like there.
What?
Yeah.
Does no one else feel like that's the loveliest thing? It was so cute.
A few years later, I sang it again at like an actual talent showcase thing.
Sure.
And the same thing. I didn't forget the words, but I sang it and it was like the best feeling ever. Like, winning X Factor was the best feeling ever, but I remember the first time I sang this song properly and I felt older and I just felt like a different person, even though I was like eight.
Because you knew your voice.
I just knew I was, yeah, getting better. And my dad came to watch me and like all my family came and I was so nervous. And at the end, when I did it and I'd done it right, my dad just ran up on the stage, tripped over the stage, so he fell flat on his face. I've got the video somewhere. And just grabbed me for like 30 seconds, squeezed me. I could not breathe. Just in front of the whole theatre. It was...
Where was this?
It was so embarrassing, though.
But this was your
At this time, I was like, okay, it's embarrassing now. I don't need your hand anymore.
Yeah, where's my agent? Where's my agent? Get him. Yeah. Where's my manager? Get him away from me, this guy.
I just remember being so embarrassed. But I look back at it now and it was so nice.
Yeah.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
But it's amazing as well. When I was younger, I was entered into, guess what competition I was entered into? This is no word of a lie. I had a nanny, girl called Julie.
A nanny competition?
No, I wasn't entered into a nanny competition, no. I was like four.
Never even heard of a nanny competition.
There's no such thing as a nanny competition. I was just put into a competition. Guess what competition? Go on, I'll give you two guesses. Go on.
It's how easy. Old were you?
Three.
Like a dance competition?
No. Second guess? Probably
karaoke?
No. Francis, go on.
Cross-dressing?
No. Obviously, cutest baby. Cutest baby.
Oh,
yeah, obviously. That was
right.
On the tip of your tongue.
Not quite.
I was ending into cutest baby competition and I came third.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Wow. What an achievement.
Out of three?
No, not out of three. Out of a whole bunch of babies.
How many?
400.
Really?
400 babies?
Obviously not. There were 400 babies in the room.
I thought you were serious then.
But that's the only competition I did. But with these competitions, right, so you won this one when you were 8 years old, and then what was the next step? Like, how did... Because did you have any training? Did you have anything? Or were you just natural?
No, I've always been able to sing, but I did have, like, a few singing lessons just to make myself better, really. Like, harmonies and
help your
different
breathing.
Things and, yeah, breathing and all that technical stuff. So... I had singing lessons when I was about, eight.
Can you do the scales?
Yeah.
So can I.
Can you?
Yeah. Okay. I get a bit nervous when I do this, if I'm honest.
We won't look if it helps.
I don't mind. You can look. It's okay. Just get a little bit nervous. Here we go. Was that actually good?
That is good.
What's that actually?
That is good.
Why don't you go on X Factor?
Okay, I'm going to try and sing a song. Actually, this is generally... I can actually 100% try and sing a song.
Come on.
This is me...
Wait, do we get to choose
serious.
The song?
I swear my life I'm going to be serious. Yeah. I swear my life. I'm going to sing... ladies and gentlemen, I am going to be singing True Colours today. My own version. And here I go. Oh. Here we go. I see your true colours shining. Let me do it one more time. Sorry, I got a bit nervous. Here we go. This is me actually trying. I see your true colours.
Wait, this is good.
Is it good?
Yes, keep going.
I see your true colours, and that's why I love you. So don't be afraid to let them show. I see your true colours.
Do you know the rest of the words?
No, I don't know anything.
Okay, this is not bad.
Can you do a scale upwards?
Yeah, but I'm not doing it right now. I've got a really sore throat.
You do have a little bit
of
a
sore throat.
I do. But it's kind of like a...
I genuinely have a sore throat, otherwise I'd...
What happens when...
Wrap this and stand on the table and do it for you.
But what happens when that happens, when you have like a sore throat and you have to go out and perform? What do you do then? You can't take loads of like lockets and just...
They don't work anyway.
You just have to do nothing. I imagine that Lewis Capaldi must have a sore throat a lot, the way he sings.
I love him.
I know, but do you know,
I am obsessed with him.
Sounds like his voice is straining.
But I think that's just him.
But do you think
that's just husky.
Sounds like it hurts to sing like that.
It does, yeah. But it's so fucking good and like...
He's great. He's actually hopefully coming on the podcast as well, which would be
epic. Is he?
Yeah, I met him at the Brits and he was such a dude.
And he kept rubbing it in that he lost.
Yeah, no, I know. I said to him, so I was hosting the Brits red carpet and he came past me and I was told in my ear, he said, Lewis Capaldi, who I knew, and they said, okay, he's been nominated for Best Newcomer or something. I think it was Best Newcomer. So Lewis came over and I went, Lewis, congratulations, Best Newcomer. How do you feel about being nominated? And he had already found out because the nominations before that he'd already lost and I didn't realise. I was like, how was the nomination? He was like, I've lost. And I was like, no, but you've been nominated. And I kept pushing it because I was like, no, you're obviously wrong. And so that's probably why he hasn't come on the podcast. But he was a freaking dude, man.
He's great.
But there was this thing, right? You know, when, as a singer, right, your throat is your muscle and things. Mm. And I have no idea, but I assume you have to constantly protect it and train it, right?
Yeah, it is
hard. What are you laughing at, Francis? What are you laughing?
Your throat is your muscle, right?
No, but it is.
It is a muscle.
Your voice box.
No, but it's your whole...
Yeah, like it's a muscle. It is a muscle. You
I
have
know,
to
it's
like...
It's funny the way you put it.
Train it like
your throat
gym.
Is your muscle, right?
But how do you?
You mean I think what you meant to say is your throat is your instrument.
Yeah.
Well, no, I more think that like you're
it's like a runner. You have to like train it and rest and train and rest.
And how? What happens if you do have a sore throat and you have to go and perform? Or what do you do then?
You kind of just have to do it anyway. there's no like getting out of it unless you literally cannot speak.
Apparently, there's something. There's been stuff you can drink which helps your throat.
Yeah, there's a few things, but to be fair, a lot of it doesn't work. Like it's great for like a short term outcome, but if you really want your throat to get better, then you just have to rest and not talk.
But that's like
steaming. I do a lot of steaming.
Oh yeah.
And like I have a nebulizer, which is like this little portable steamer thing.
I have a nebulizer.
Yeah.
Do you have asthma?
No.
You just use a nebulizer.
Just use it, yeah.
Yeah, I have a nebulizer. Okay, so then you were young, you were doing these talent competitions. That was our little tangent you liked.
Hey, listen, JB basically doesn't have asthma, but he thinks it's cool.
I have. So
I used to pretend I had asthma when I was
so he
five.
Pretends he has asthma and he's 30.
I'm not pretending. I have asthma. I have asthma. I have a nebulizer.
Really want to have asthma.
Like, why would I want to have
because
asthma?
Because you think the nebulizers are cool.
No, I don't.
It's like an accessory for you.
It's not like an accessory. It's not like
you carry it around. It's like an affectation.
A nebulizer is like a mini computer.
Whenever your Instagram story, you're like, my nebulizer, my asthma.
You're a joke. It's not true. Hey, everything that I say is truthful. Okay, so do you like the way that I, basically what happens in this podcast? I bring it back to the narrative. It's very clever. So
it's like a storytelling.
Yeah, yeah.
Love
we go through your life and it's a storybook. So you're 8 years old. You've done all these talent competitions. You've realised you've got this great voice. You had a little bit of training. What happens next then? Because did you start doing all the shows at your school? What was the next step to start to build towards this career that you wanted to obviously do?
Yeah, I just started going to a theatre school, which was like, it wasn't musical theatre, it was just like a bit of fun after school. And because I didn't enjoy school very much, I used to just try and do a lot of that as much as possible. My mum used to just send me to these things just to make me like happy after school. And I just started doing the shows. So we'd have like a show every quarter of the year. Just sang solos and you just got to pick whatever song you wanted to sing and in front of like the audience, like the mums and dads basically. And I just did loads of them and started, when I got a bit older, like 14, 15, started doing like open mics, just random places. I'd just go.
Like just go there by yourself?
Yeah, like my family would come with me and then you can just get up and sing.
So
I
just, how do you have the
You should take your True Colours.
Oh, yeah.
To the open mic circuit.
Like, listen, I mean, people would just go crazy. So I wouldn't, I can't do that to them.
Yeah.
But so you're this timid little sweet girl and you would go in front of these people and do an open mic night.
Yeah, but for me, that was like my release. So I just didn't, obviously I got nervous, but it's like that good nervous, like the little butterflies and the excitement, and I wanted to show people, and because I wanted to be a singer so much, I would do everything I could. I didn't eventually end up busking, but I tried to get a license of busking. I used to just do weddings. I used to sing anywhere anyone ever asked me to, just so people could hear me.
Where does that drive and passion come from, though?
It's just what I've just not liked school. I didn't like anything I ever did. I didn't want to do anything else. It was just singing.
Do you know what's so funny about that? I think I've said this before, but I'll say it again. I'm with you. You're probably the same as me. We're just so similar. Do you like babies? Yeah, you do. I love them when they cry. but anyway, so... I think that the reason why you potentially didn't like school is because I think school system fails individuals, right? So it definitely failed me in a sense where you probably weren't good at certain subjects and so then you fail them and you're not good.
So you're saying the school failed you, you didn't fail school.
100%. Yeah, it freaking failed me.
Do you know what? School is a very like controversial topic, but I really feel like the opinions people have on schools, because for me, I could sit here and say that I did not like school one bit. I didn't do very well in like the creative subjects like art, dance. I did really well. English, I did well at as well. It's not really hard though.
That's the same as yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. English is freaking hard.
Do you think?
What did you do, English lit or language?
Oh God, I just did the normal one. GCSEs. I didn't do.
Oh, I did both. A-level. Yeah, I did. I did both of them, but
I wasn't smart enough to do both.
Oh, nor was I. Just wanted
just
to do it.
Chance.
Did it in my spare time. Did it last year. I was a mature student.
Wow.
What did you get in your A-levels?
I got BCD. And then I retook them and got BCD. Got the same.
Did you?
School, you failed me.
Yeah, I did fail me. But I'm with you, Louisa, because basically I saw this amazing thing by this guy called Ken Robinson or something like that, Ken Robinson, who talks about creativity, right? Mm. And the problem with the school system is that science is important, history is important, English, math, those things, but creativity is seen as second best. And a lot of in the UK only, that happens. In every other country around the world, it is seen as just as
the
important.
Best thing,
yeah, the
yeah.
best thing. And this guy told this amazing story of his...
I wouldn't say it's just the UK. I think...
UK, I think it really is.
I've been to school in America, I've been to schools in France.
But America takes drama massive. Maybe
not really.
Not in every state, maybe, but like.
No, I say private schools, yeah, it's different over there. And then sort of liberal arts universities. But it's more like. It's more formulaic and rigid at state school level.
But there was this amazing thing with this guy called Ken, gave this talk about creativity, and he said that this is how important creativity is. He said his wife is a ballerina, has been her entire life. She's incredible, but she was very bad at school, very bad at lessons, all those kind of things. Mm. And her parents were brought in for a chat by the headmaster. Headmaster sat them down in the room and had a chat with them about her failings and said, your daughter's not doing very well in school, she's failing everything. They went, okay. And he said, well, can you come with me for a second? And they took the parents outside the room. And as he left, he pressed play on a music machine and shut the door. And he said, watch this. And they looked in through the window and their daughter got up and started dancing. He said, your daughter's not sick. She's not stupid. She's not failing. She's a dancer. Send her to dancing school. They sent her to dancing school. She was a ballerina her entire life. She then wrote plays with Lloyd Webber. And then he said, now she's a millionaire. And one teacher would have said she's sick and failing, and another teacher said she's a dancer, and it's that sliding doors thing would happen to so many different people out there, that you were lucky enough that you had your parents.
Yeah, my parents were like a big support. I have a similar story. It's not quite as like
as long
touching.
And boring as mine.
No, it's that one's quite really touching. But I was in math class, and I hate math so much. I just can't do it. I didn't understand it. I didn't get it. And I was in a math class once and my teacher said to me, like, I wasn't listening. I was probably being a bit, like, rude. You know how it is, like, just couldn't be bothered to listen, whatever. And he came up to me and he said, you really need maths, you know. And I was like, being rude, like, no, I don't. And he was like, you do. And I was like, no, I don't. I was like, I'm a singer. Why do I need maths? Like, what am I going to do apart from count money or...
like, yeah, that's my answer.
I was being rude. Like, yeah, I was just, when people try to tell me that I need something and I know in my heart that I will... If I want something, I will get it. don't tell me what I'm going to need that. In my Love life. That. Like, don't.
On the subject of maths,
yeah,
it's time for the question of the week.
You're going to just cut straight off on that beautiful story.
I was going on a good story there.
Yeah, he thought your story was shit.
I thought it was finished.
No.
Yeah. Hey, just to touch on that. Hey, I'm totally with you. But I love the fact that you have that amazing passion in you where you will just go, if someone tells me I can't get it, I'm going to go out and get it.
Yeah, without it just makes me more like I need to get it now just to prove everyone wrong. So anyway, I was
sorry
like
to cut you
being
off.
A bit of a bitch. And he was like, oh, you do really need it, you really do. And I was just like, whatever, I'm not listening to you, I'm not doing my work now, whatever, bye. And anyway, like, he never heard me sing before. And when I went on X Factor, I don't know how I found this Facebook status, but he had put a status up to all his friends saying, like, it was like two paragraphs long, like, this Louisa Johnson, she was in my maths class. She wasn't that great at maths. She didn't like it, blah, 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 blah. She kept telling me every single class how much she wanted to be a singer and holding my hands up. I never believed her. And now this girl has gone on to go on X Factor and I think she's amazing and I've never heard this voice before and all this stuff. And I can't remember the exact words he used, but he like caved in and he was like, you know what? I'll never say to another student ever again, like how much they need something when they have in their heart, like what they already know. And I just thought, oh, that's like, that's he didn't need great, to say yeah. that. You know what teachers are like? They want you to work hard and that's important too. But when someone really knows, I think it's important to just follow that like thing inside of you, whatever it is. Like if you want to work in medicine, like, and that makes you happy, then just do it. Like, whatever it is.
Dude, I'm totally with you without a doubt. I think that, and that is a pretty badass story.
I didn't know you wanted to work in medicine.
I do. I really want to work in medicine. I'm going to go and do it now. But what is amazing about that is that teacher, because what I think teachers forget or people forget is that when you're younger, you hold on to things and you remember things. Yeah. Your inner child never forgets it. So that teacher saying you're never going to do it, you're going to fail, that will stick with you. And he may not know that.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that he actually said, shit, I was wrong.
Yeah, and I was like,
and that means the world, right?
A part of me was like, told you. Yeah. But then another part of me was like, oh no, that's just like really mature and what people should be like and people should take note of that.
Follow your dreams and go for it without a doubt.
That's, yeah.
Louisa Johnson, you should just run for something.
President.
Yeah, run for president. That would be a good idea. Well, yeah, run for president. Did you poke the teacher or like it or anything like
that? Yeah, I liked it. And then I messaged him saying thank you. And he was like, oh, this is great, blah, blah, blah. I'm happy for you.
It's cool.
So yeah, we've made up now.
Right, Frances, time for the question of the week.
What? How many kilos are in a stone?
Oh God! The funny thing in the world, okay, Kate, Louisa, what we're going to do together, okay? How many kilos are there in a stone?
Yeah.
Okay. We both don't know.
We have no idea.
But the funniest thing about this is, on three, we're going to say the number, and it could be so far apart from each other, we have no idea.
I could try and like.
How many kilos are in a stone? Okay, so on three, we're going to say it, and that's our answer.
Okay.
Okay, you ready for this?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go for it. 1, 2, 3, 5. 8. Look at him just looking at
this. Said 1, 2, and 3.
No, I said 8. I said.
Wait, which one is it? You can't say 4 different answers.
I said 1, 2, 3, which is the counting into it. Then I said 8. And Louisa said 5. I think it's in between, man. I think it's going to be 6.
I think it's 6 too. I was going to say 6.
Shit, we're so connected.
Well, you will find out in part 2.
No.
Yeah, that's why you got to stick around.
God.
Yeah, that's the real hook we have.
That is so annoying.
There we have the hook. Right, on that note, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to read you my diary, which is very exciting. So this is what I've been up to. Saturday. If you haven't been to Brazil, you should go to Brazil. The people, culture, food is all Brazilian and very lovely at the same time. I honestly fitted into Brazilian life like a last puzzle piece fits into a complicated jigsaw at Christmas. Obrigada, aqui, bom dia, all just a few of the words I mastered while out there with my friends. We arrived in Sao Paulo, my friend and I, not me, and my ego, and what?
What?
We arrived in Sao Paulo, my friend and I, not me and my ego, and spent a few glorious days there soaking in the culture as well as too many caipirinhas. We then travelled some direction on a compass to a hidden beach resort to actually have the ceremony of the wedding. It was beautiful, magnificent, glorious, wholesome, fabulous and energised, grounding. I can keep going. The wedding was full of love. And after the activities, we retired back to our little beach house for some rest. Now, it was rather late at night, and I found my way home, stumbling through the dark as there's no lights at night. Only the light of the moon and the burning desire in my heart.
What desire?
You were good at English, weren't you?
Told you. I entered my room, felt around and fumbled my way into bed and fell asleep. I dreamt of love, passion and life until I was suddenly awoken by shouting and hitting. I was startled, not knowing what was going on, until I looked across and realised that this wasn't my room at all, but one of the bride's friends called Nicholas, whose room I had stumbled upon. I sat up, spoke to him, calmed it down and apologised for my mistake, explained the situation, and he laughed. We didn't even mention the fact that I was naked the entire time. Man, I love Brazil.
Wait, a good little diary.
Yeah, you like it.
How did it end?
Nicholas was a great guy. He was a great guy. He was a really lovely. He was a model as well. He was a model from...
Yeah.
Right, everyone. That's the end of part one. Hey, Louise, are you enjoying yourself?
Yes. I'm ready for part two already.
Oh, well.
You better be ready.
Oh, I will.
Oh, we'll see you in a second, Steve. Bye.